I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go back to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. But before I do, I want to read you a couple of verses out of Acts, the 13th chapter. We've been doing a series on a man after God's own heart. We looked at Saul and what it is to not, really to be a man after one's own heart, isn't he? He was very selfish, self-centered. Remember when he went out and he didn't just utterly destroy the Amalekites, and then he came back and the next day, remember we caught him last week, erecting a monument to himself for what a good job he had already done. And he didn't even do the will of God. And so there's a place that we can get into that's dangerous because we think we're in good shape. How many knows when you think you're in good shape in God's will and you're really not, that's a dangerous place to be. Because you're not even aware. At least when we're aware, you know, how many's been out in the world before and away from God and you were aware of it? That's one place to be. But then when there's a place that we can get to where we're not even aware that we're out of the blessings and the presence of God, and not in good standing. And that's where Saul was. He comes back and he's just as happy as he can be and patting himself on the back and building monuments to himself and telling Samuel, I did all the will of the Lord. And he said, now these people over here that you gave me, they brought some stuff, but I didn't. You know, I did the will of God. They didn't, and he was the leader. How many knows when you're the leader and the people under you don't do the will of God, that means that you are in trouble. That's what authority. That's why he said be careful about how much authority you get. And if you're a teacher or a Bible instructor or whatever, he said be careful because they're more accountable. God's going to hold them more accountable. So if you own your own business, if you're the head of your home and family, there's accountability that goes with this responsibility. And so be careful what we have. But today I want to look at David, a man after God's own heart, and look at some of the things that God did for him. And look at some of the things that the character traits of what a person is. It's a person, a man after God's own heart. And if you're visiting today or hadn't been here, when I say a man after God's own heart, everybody knows it's mankind, okay? It's men or women. It's mankind. So that's when I say a man after God's own heart. And Acts 13:21 says, afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for him, for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David. And remember where he found him, because that is really key. He found him out in the sheep pasture, didn't he? And what I really want to drill home, and I know I've said it the last two Sundays, but I'll say it one more Sunday, that it doesn't matter where you are, God knows where you are. Sometimes you think you're way out, away from the civilization, and nobody knows, and nobody would care if you did the will of God or not. God knows. Here's your key phrase for today. You ready for this phrase? Write this one down. It's real simple, but you'll miss it. And that's some of the things about David. He's just lived a simple life, but I'm telling you, this is a good phrase. You've probably heard it before, but I want to give it to you today, and y'all just write it down, and then meditate on it and reflect on it, because it's not deep or it's not profound, but it's a great statement. Wherever you are, be there. Amen. Wherever you are, be there. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you're talking to them and you're standing there and they're saying, yeah, I had a good day. How are you today? And, you know, they're looking everywhere. You know, they're not there. They're talking to you, but you can just tell. Don't you want to just get their face and go, look here, look at me, you know. Sometimes you meet people that's so-called famous. You ever met somebody that's famous that people know and you talk to them and they're just, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, you know, and they're looking around. It's like, well, I'm doing fine, but you don't care. You know, that's kind of, wherever you are, be there. Now, here's what happens when we're not there. If we're not there, here's what happens. We get grumpy. We get ungrateful. We're ungrateful for where we are. And then we begin to look at someplace else. You know, we look at the woman of the year. I ain't even woman of the month. Huh? So and we can all compare. Yeah, but you're woman of the year, but you're not Miss America, are you? There's always something and that's what happens when we're not right where we are. Right where we are. wherever you are, be there. In other words, give 100% where you are. And do the best you can with what you have where you are, and that is a man after God's own heart. David was taken from the sheep pen or the sheep pasture to the palace. And then, once in a while, the Bible said Saul would send him back to tend sheep. Now, how many knows that's quite a contrast to be the main musician in the palace, and then he sends you back out. Once you've been, you know, if you've never been in the palace playing on the harp, and we got some musicians in here, that, you know, once you've played Taj Mahal or some big event, it'd be hard just to go back out, wouldn't it, and go back to the sheep pen and take care of sheep again. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to be playing for Saul next week in the palace out as he talks to his fellow sheep herders. And so that was the key of David. It didn't matter where he was always there. And I'll tell you something else about David, and this is really key, that he was a leader. And it didn't matter if he was leading sheep, or if he was leading the Israelites, or if for a while, remember, Saul was trying to kill him, and every chance he got, he would take his spear and try to pin David to the wall. And so David fled, and he fled the presence of Saul. He found him an army to lead, didn't he? About 600 guys, just, you know, leaders attract followers. And David had him a following wherever he went. And he was just as adamant about taking care of sheep and just as consecrated as he was taking care of sheep, as he was taking care of Israel, or taking care of 600 renegades that kind of came to him and formed an army, literally. Wherever he was there. Listen, if he was taking supplies, remember the day when David came to the forefront of the battle and they were going up against the Philistines? Remember what he was doing that day? Did he put it on his armor that day and say, I'm going to go out and kill Goliath? Remember what he was doing? He was delivering cheese and crackers and bread, wasn't he? That's what he was doing. That was his job for the day. And the Bible said that he left his sheep with the keeper. I'll leave, but I want to make sure my sheep are protected. You know, and then when he gets to the battlefront, you know what the Bible said? He left his supplies with the keeper. He didn't just jump off the wagon and run up to see what was happening at the front. Wherever he was there. It's my responsibility today to deliver cheese and crackers and bread, so I'm going to be responsible. I make sure they get here, and now I make sure they're watched over and they're taken care of. They're in the hands of who they need to be in. Now, I'll go see what's going on and check on my brothers. That was his next thought. That was his whole day. That's what he was supposed to be doing the day he killed Goliath. So here's a good lesson for it. You want to be a person after God's own heart? Don't look to the big stuff. God will take care of that. How many knows He can move you from where you are to where He wants you if you'll just take care of where you are today?
Right.
I heard Joyce Myers getting on some ladies one time. She said, you know, you want to go out and slay giants and you can't even get victory over a dirty sink of dishes. Yeah. You can't even keep your own house picked up. You want to pick up somebody else's house. Well, I believe if you want better things, you take care of what you have today. And if you live in a little bitty dumpy house, then you clean it up, you polish it up, and you say, this is my house. God lives on the inside of me, and God lives here, so I'm going to take care of this house. This is going to look the best it can look, because today, this is where I am. Now, I'm not staying here, but today I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful for what God has given me, and I'm going to make the best of it. This is going to be the best looking little house in the community. Wherever you are, be there. Be there. I found myself a while back and I was just getting overloaded with stuff. You know, life happens and stuff. And I found myself just really not... I've been taking some classes, you know, and once a week and on Tuesday nights. And I really just found myself not just getting loaded down with that and not wanting to do that. And I really just... I found myself in a bad attitude. You believe that?
Yeah,
you can? Okay. Not surprising as I thought. Right back at you. I've seen some of you come in, you know. Are you happy? Alert your face, you know. So. And we get that way, don't we? You know why? It's because we're not where we are. We're thinking we'd rather be somewhere else, we'd rather be doing something else, and we'd rather have something else. And that is an ungrateful thing, isn't it? You know, if you're God and you gave your only son for you, wouldn't that be a terrible blow to your heart when somebody was ungrateful for where they were and what God had accomplished and given you grace to get you to heaven and save you from hell, and all of a sudden we're ungrateful for where we are?
Amen.
Because of things that we've done and events that we've created to get us where we are. Most all of us in this room, we are where we are today because of what we've done. Seeds we've sown and things we've done is why we're where we are. Now there's a time when it's beyond your control. If you're a child and somebody's abusing you, or if you're in an abusive situation, you know, in a relationship and you're young and just don't know how to get out of that, that's one thing that you haven't created. But most of us in this room have created the atmosphere around us and what's going on around us by our actions and what we sow every day. One guy said this, that the success of your life is found in your daily agenda. What you get up and do every day, the seeds that you sow every day, that's what you're going to start reaping. Whatever you're sowing every day, it's like a gardener going along putting the seeds in the ground. That's why he's doing that, because he wants to reap a certain harvest. And that's the same way in our life. Whatever you're sowing today, listen, if you've got a bad attitude, it's probably because you've been sowing some of that stuff. And it all starts with just a little bit of a bad attitude. If you can just get in the mood. Anybody ever been in a mood? Don't take much, does it, to really get over the edge. And then if you run onto somebody you know and they're in a mood, oh boy, you can really take off, can't you? You know, you're in a mood anyway, and you think life's mistreating you, and you run onto a friend, and they think life's mistreating them, and it's like, how's your day? Well, it's just been terrible. Well, tell me about it. You know, and then here you go, just like two dogs on a trail. You know, terrible, isn't it? Or you can be this kind of a person. If you don't be a man after God's own heart, you can be this kind of a person. You can say, when somebody says, how's your day going? It doesn't matter how your day is going. Remember what we learned last one, a few weeks ago, maybe it was a few months ago, whatever it was. How's your day? Unbelievable. See, that fits for all seasons, doesn't it? You know, if your house burned, your dog's dead, and your wife left, unbelievable. I was pulling in early this morning, and I had just ran down and got me a little snack, and I pulled in, and I thought, man, something's pulling on my truck. And I thought I had a flat, and I got out and I looked, and I knew all my tires. So I just put these tires on my truck, and I felt it doing this number, and I thought, man, something, I have a flat tire. So I got out and I looked, and I don't have a flat tire, but I've got something. My truck has something. I'm not a mechanic, so I don't know what it has, but there's something in there that's not right. It's either a brake or a bearing or something that's out of socket. And so here I am. I'm coming to church to preach the word and sing the word and play and put on my happy face, and something happens to my truck. Guess what? I've still got victory in Jesus. Yeah. My truck's sick. I'm not. My truck is not going to heaven. I am. Someday it's going to burn up. Hallelujah. So is your new Lexus. So get over it. All right. It's going to burn up. Isn't that awful thought to think you get a new Lexus and it's going to burn up? You get a new house, it's going to burn up. You get new whatever we get, because this stuff is not going with us. So don't get so caught up in stuff, see? Because if we do, we won't be where we're supposed to be. We'll be, part of us will be on stuff, and it won't be on the kingdom business. How many knows the only thing we're going to get rewarded for is kingdom business? And so keep it on kingdom business. We can enjoy stuff, but remember, the meat of my day belongs in kingdom business, not in stuff. So I'll get the truck fixed, and it'll be, you know, if you want to go lay hands on it and pray for it on the way out, I'd appreciate it. We'll see what kind of faith you got. Now let's go back to Samuel, the 16th chapter. Yeah, how many's got no car you need them to go by while they're, yeah, okay, there's several of us, but they got no car that you can just go and buy theirs too. And in fact, we might just go out in the parking lot. It's beautiful. Just lay hands on everybody's car. And we can even lay hands on Thelma's Lexus. Lord, let her share that with me sometimes in Jesus' name. And, you know, I might like to drive Bill's big truck in the name of Jesus, you know. Just don't covet, okay? No coveting. Now, Samuel had anointed David king, remember? And David was anointed. God told Samuel, I have found me a man after my own heart. And he said, I want you to go and anoint him. And Samuel said, well, what if Saul finds out? He'll kill me. Isn't that funny when even the prophet that has seen the power of God in such a powerful way is afraid of a king, someone he's anointed, as in a position. Isn't it amazing how fear can grip our hearts over doing the will of God? Now, if we're going to become a man after God's own heart, we have to get over the fear, because the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. In other words, we have the ability, and we have the intellect, and we have the right motives to do anything that God has called us to do. And if God tells you to go and do something that's uncomfortable, you don't have to be afraid. And if you are, I love what Joyce Meyer said, do it with fear. If it's the will of God, do it with fear, because you'll be surprised and amazed how it will come out if it's a leading of the Holy Spirit and you do it anyway. So he was afraid, and so God said, well, take a calf down and act like you're going to sacrifice, and not act like, but do a sacrifice, and then invite them to come. And so he goes and anoints David as king. And David goes back out into the sheep pen or pasture and starts taking care of sheep once again. And you never hear him complain or gripe, and he's just doing, wherever he's at, he's there. He's giving it all that he's got right there. Some of you commented the other day after I said, when you pull up to the gas pump as a Christian, you don't curse the prices, you praise the Lord for providing. Some of you act like you'd never thought about that before. You know, that's simple. But wherever you are, be there. Be there and praise. You know, when the summer gets hot and the winter gets cold, your electric bills go up, your heat bills go up and all that stuff, and you look at it and think, oh my gosh! And you change your mind and you say, praise the Lord, I can pay for that. Because you're going to think something, you know, be there. Bring the kingdom with you wherever you are. You know, thank God I have enough in my bank account to fix my truck. I pray, and if I don't, I'll let you know, okay? Yeah. All right. And so let's pick up in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. That's what happens when you're a person after your own heart. The Spirit of God will depart. The leading of the Holy Spirit will depart when you begin to just follow after your own inklings, your own heart, and you don't pay attention to what God is calling you to do. You don't do what God is calling you to do. And so it's really important to remember that there's anointing and there's blessing when we do what God has called us to do, and then there's the other side of that where God's Spirit will depart. It says, 1 Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And that's kind of, isn't that kind of odd to hear that the Lord has sent a distressing spirit? That's odd, isn't it? We think about God sending angels and help and healing and hope and all this anointing to do and to serve. But when this guy is out of God's will and we are contradicting God's will, evidently he can send a distressing spirit and will. Now, here's the thing that's amazing to me. Saul never gave up the kingdom for years. After he was really dethroned, and he said, I've taken the kingdom away from you. And he fought to hang on to what God had already released him from. That is a miserable place. Listen, if you're in position of authority, at work or church or wherever it's at, and you know it's time to release that, God's releasing you, just feel like and here's how you can tell sometimes. All the joy, you know, sometimes preaching and teaching and finding something fresh, it's work, but you know what? It never tires to me, because I love studying God's Word. And old familiar stories like this and learning new truths and things just excites me. And then to be able to share those with you all, it never tires. And that's the anointing that gives you strength to do what God has called you to do, whatever excites you and you're passionate about. But when that leaves or that lists, God is saying it's time to move. And it had lifted from Saul. and he sent a distressing spirit. Now, he may not send a distressing spirit if he's just wanting you to move to do something else, but it'll just lift. There'll be a difference. There'll be a change inside of you. He says, and Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Now, I don't know if you know, that's a bold statement to tell a king. Because, you know, this is a guy that's got final authority, really all authority. And to go up and say, you know, king, I tell you what the problem is. There's a distressing spirit from God on you. That's a real risky statement to make. And also, that's a very discerning statement, isn't it? I don't know who this is. I wish the Bible had told us who these people are that's talking to Saul. I would really like to know. And maybe when we get to heaven, he'll answer that for us. But this is some great insight. They're anointed because he hits it right on the head. And maybe Samuel has talked to him, these individuals. It sounds like maybe. I've got a couple of theories I want to share with you. But it says, let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. Now, I don't know who that is, but I thought, man, that's some good stuff. I do know who's behind it, and it's the Spirit of God, isn't it? Because now he's saying, I know where David's at. I found me a man after my own heart. And I'm going to take him out of the sheep pasture, and I'm going to put him in the palace with one conversation. How many knows with one conversation, God can get you where you want to go? Some of you may have dreams and visions about leading something or doing something or have such a burning passion to feed the poor or whatever it may be, to have a home for battered families or, you know, I don't know what it might be, but some of you might have this big vision of doing something for God and you're saying, but there's just no way. I don't have resources. I don't have the talent. I don't have the skill. But I'm telling you, if that is a vision from God, in one conversation, he can get you resources and get you everything you need from where you are to where he wants to place you if you'll be where you are. If you will do everything you can where you are right now. That means have a good attitude where you are. I have to tell couples once in a while that come in and they're broken and things. I say, you know what, you can get another spouse, but I'll tell you what, most of them come with the same problems. There's just one model, you know, they're humans. They're called humans. And you say, yeah, but you don't know the one I got. Well, just remember, you picked them. Might be a discernment issue, but you picked them. But all I'm saying is, we need to be happy with the spouse we have. And I know there's times where a spouse will go off and the deep something, you know, and there's nothing you can do, and you try to restore. I realize that, and God has grace for those times. But I'm just saying, for the most part, the spouse you're with, if you will be there, taking care of who you are. Last night, for instance, I come home, and Jana's been feeling bad, and she's still having to study for a test, and you know how it is when you're studying, and you don't feel well anyway. And so she's been home all day, and I've been out to birthday parties for the grandkids, and I've been out to graduation to some of my friends at college, and then I went and got some stuff, and so I'm out kind of late, and I finally come home, and she's I'm got my guitar, and I put some new strings on there, and she said, I cannot study with that. I said, okay. And you know, when one of us is sick, the best thing to do is just have grace. And I said, okay, I'm sorry, honey. So I just got my guitar and I went back in the back bedroom and I shut the door and I'm back there tuning it up and getting it ready. And I was practicing this little song. June 16th, I'll be singing down at the Rodeo Opry. And I asked you to pray last week. Well, I got my song. So I'm going to start off with an old rugged cross. I'm going to do a little medley and I'm going to go from there to Amazing Grace, cowboy style. Be like this. Well, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, cowboy style. Cowboy style, you know what I'm saying? And then we're going to go from there, we're going to go up to I'll Fly Away. You know, just a chorus and a verse of each one of them. And so thank you for your prayers, and God answered those prayers. But anyway, I'm back in my bedroom, and I've been back there a little while, and she the door opens up, and she comes over and gives me a hug and a kiss. She said, I just miss you. And I don't know what that means. Do I come back? Do I stay here? You know, I don't know what it means, but she misses me. It's good. I know it's good. I can tell it's effort from a sick person. See, that's being where you are. Wherever you are, be there. You know, she didn't. She knew in the moment she wanted. You know, and so in a little while, I just put it all up and just came sat in the room. You know, just sat there and admire her beauty. Yeah, because she made the effort. Listen, when your spouse makes an effort, you make an effort. That's being there. That's being there. That's a man after God's own heart. You're saying, I understand you're reaching out, so I'm going to make the best of what we have here. Okay? So, anyway, he says a skillful player. Verse 17, so Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Now listen to this guy, and I don't know who this is, but it says, then one of his servants answered and said, look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing. A mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome person, and the Lord is with him. I'm like, who, is that your mother? Who is that? Who would say that about David? I mean, if somebody wanted a resume, how many would want this guy, if he liked you, to do your resume? That's like, who is that? And God doesn't tell us who it is, but I'm like, wow. You know who he's talking about here, don't you? He's talking about a teenager that's keeping sheep. Now, if he just gave you this resume, you'd think he's talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger or Rambo or somebody. But he's talking about a kid with a slingshot and a stick keeping sheep. Whoever this is, I can tell you what I know about him. David has impressed this person. How can you be impressive keeping sheep? Here's how you be impressive keeping sheep. You say, I'll lay my life down for this sheep. You know, if you give that kind of loyalty to your company you work for, I guarantee you they'll promote you. This is my company. And as long as I work here, this company's not going under because I'm going to make sure. I'm going to keep it in business. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do more than my part. I always taught my kids, if you want a job, do your part and then some. Because everybody else is saying, that is not my part. That is not my part. So if you do your part and then some, you're more likely to keep your job and get their job if you want it. So it's just simple, but it's, you know, that's me. I'm Jack. I'm simple. Do your part and then some. And you'll have your job. So whoever it is, and here's my theory. I want to give you my theory, okay? And like the guy said, I don't have any Bible to prove it, but you don't have anything against it. That's what he always used to say. I love that. You don't have anything against it. You know. And if you've got a better theory, tell me and we'll look at your theory. Here's what I believe. I believe either there's two things really, actually three, but I think the first one's kind of shallow. Let me give you the first one. And the first one was, this is one of David's brothers. Remember, he was part of Saul's army. I don't believe it was his brothers because it would have been real risky if he said, well, what tribe are you from? Well, I'm who's your dad, Jesse? It's my brother, you know. I don't think one of the brothers would have done that because of the situation it would have put him in to describe his brother like this. I also don't believe it was one of his brothers because remember, most of his brothers were jealous. When they came down to fight the battle and they were too afraid to get on the field. And by the way, people is too afraid to do what you're going to do, they'll usually criticize you and be jealous of you and they won't give you encouragement. If they really see you wanting to jump out and do something bigger than you are and it's really going to matter and it's got, you know, they're like, well, I don't do that and you don't. What makes you think you can do that? So most people, and I hate that in us, but a lot of us, if we see somebody just really excelling, it's hard to get excited for them. Now, we can change that, and we should be excited for people that are going places and doing things. We ought to say, that is amazing. That's wonderful. You know. But sometimes we don't. But I don't believe it's his brothers because they were so jealous of David. You know, Saul had come out and anointed them. They had all passed by and got rejected. Nope, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you. Nope. Anybody else? Well, we got David out there. They said, we'll bring the kid. And they bring the kid and they pour the oil on him while all his brothers stand there and watch him being anointed by the prophet for king. And so the jealousy set in. And when he comes to the battlefield, they're on his case. What are you doing down here? Who's watching those few sheep that you have to watch? So I don't believe it's a brother that's telling this to Saul. Now, one of the things it could be is Samuel could have whispered in these person's ear and said, you know, tell them there's a skillful player. Tell them it's a spirit from God that's coming. That could be very possible. That Samuel set this up. Because he was all about it. If he didn't have to face Saul, he was all about working it, wasn't he? Here's what I believe. And we'll find out when we get to heaven. Here's what I believe. I believe that whoever this was, one day he saw David. I think if you're just around David, because how many knows when you're around people that's got it, you just know they got it. And I think he was just around David one day. And maybe, here's David's M.O. Remember what he said when he came to Goliath? Remember what he told him? He said, I'm going to strike you. I'm going to cut your head off. And by the way, when he told him, I'm going to cut your head off, you know what he didn't have? A sword. See, sometimes you can speak to your mountain, even if you don't have resources. I'm going to come, and I'm going to conquer you, and you can just go ahead and say it, because God's put it in your heart. And he didn't have a sword. I'm sure all the Philistines were laughing. You don't even have a sword, young man. You got a stick and a sling. You're going to cut his head off? What are you going to do, saw it off with the laces? You know, just they was really having a heyday, I'm sure. But he said, I'm going to strike you. I'm going to cut your head off. And then he looked up and said, I'm an all you. I'm coming after you when I get through with him. Now, that's a bold statement, isn't it, for a kid right off the sheep farm? But how many knows he said, here's the key, I've come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm not coming to my strength. And that's why we say if it's a vision from God, that's what you can say. I come in the name of the Lord. I don't look like much today, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. It's not my power. If it's my power, I'd be home watching TV. I come in the name of the Lord. This vision is from God. And so he told him that. And so his M.O. was this, was to kill and then to cut the head off of whatever he killed. And by the way, that is a gory thought, isn't it? You know, as he's carrying Goliath's head, and he may have to use two hands because he was huge. His head was probably this big around. But you know, there's blood and tissue and stuff probably all over the kid's leg as he's got this big old head just carrying it around. Isn't that gory? It's gory, but here's the deal. Now, it's gory, but he didn't do that for the Israelites. He did that for the Philistines. When David got up on top of that guy and goes, whoosh, I'm coming after you, like, ah! They could just picture David carrying their head around, like, he's coming to get my head. And he's got four locks left. Run! That's gory, isn't it? But that's what he did. That's why he picked the head up and looked up at him, and you're next. And I told you exactly what I'm going to do. I didn't have a sword. God provided a sword. I don't have enough rocks for all of you, but God will provide. I'm coming after you. And the Bible said at this one event, they fled. You imagine when they got back to camp and they're telling the story. What happened? Oh, there was this scary teenager with a leather strap. He was scary. He was going to kill us. A what? It's a teenager. He's scary. Take that home and tell your wife, you know. God did that, didn't he? See, God can put the fear of your enemy, the fear upon your enemies in your heart if you'll just stand your ground. So, here's my theory. My theory is what happened was David came, or this man came that says he's a skillful player, he's a mighty man of valor, a man of war. Talking about teenagers keeping sheep. Up to this point, he's not been on the battlefield. And he said, man, he's prudent, he's handsome, and the Lord's with him. And here's my theory. I think this man came by one day when either David had killed the bear or the lion. And he came in wagging a big old lion head or bear head. This is my theory, but it makes sense, doesn't it? And he comes in wagging it, you know, and again, he's got the blood all over his little sandals and leg. And they said, where in the world did you get that? He said, this thing tried to get at my sheep. This is what happens to the things that try to get my sheep. And the guy's saying, kid's serious about his sheep, isn't he? And I just believe, after meditating and thinking, I thought that makes more sense than anything, that this young teenager could have this kind of report to the men that were in the inner circle of the king. How else could he do that? Good lesson for you guys, you teenagers, that is this, that you know what? Somebody's watching you. And if you'll be where you are, if you'll be there, if you're working part-time in the diner or working part-time in sweeping floors, if you'll sweep them with all your might, you know, sometimes you have to take the little jobs to get to the bigger jobs, but if you will be faithful, God will have somebody watching you, just like He was watching David. And He'll say, you know, there's a young person that they're just dishwashers, but they impress me. Every once in a while, not very often, I'll go to a restaurant or something, and there'll be some cashier or some waiter that will impress me, and I think, oh, if I had a company, I would steal you from this place. You know the people I'm talking about? They're waiters or they're dishwashers or they're cashiers, but if you've got a problem, they've got a problem.
Amen.
If you need answers, they'll go get them if they don't have them. Those kind of people. You know, once in a while, I love it when you have, you know, something, they don't have the exact change or they don't have you can't do a menu split or something. They say, I'll fix you up. Just don't tell anybody. You're going to be a happy customer when you leave this place. And they just take initiative. I don't know if their boss told them to or if their honey's on the line or what, but you know what? They are right where they are, aren't they? They're making the best of it. It's important to them because it's important to the customer. And that's either good training or they're just a good individual. They're there. And I think, oh man, if I had a company, I'd get your name and number. And I'd call you. Be there. And so anyway, that's my theory. He came by one day, and then maybe he sat at supper, and so when they're sitting there at the supper table, and here's the big old lion head, bear head, whatever it is, and it's sitting over there, and the guy's just so impressed with the kid. And then all of a sudden the kid sits down there at the harp, and he just begins to play the harp, and the anointing of the Lord is upon him. And the guy says, wow. And that, I believe, is what happened to this man. That's my theory. Got one better than that? How many does that sound good to? Let's vote on number three. Yeah, all right. It's either that or Saul. And this guy is just so impressed. I doubt it was Saul. But and here's something that's really impressive. Watch this. He says the Lord is with him. Verse 19. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is what? With the sheep. They're looking for a harp player. And he says, go and get me the kid that's tending the sheep. That's the one I want to play my harp. Now, how many of you is going to put in your resume to play a harp somewhere? You'd say on your resume, it would say, what do you do? I tend sheep. How many would even want to mention what you do? If you were looking for a gig at the king's palace. How many are going to put, oh, a sheep keeper. I'd like to play in your palace. I'm a sheep keeper. I play on the side when I'm through tending my sheep. How many know? And he knew, and I love this, because he knew he was a sheep keeper. Listen, don't be ashamed of what you do. If you're a floor sweeper and you're looking for something to, you know, vice president of a company, don't matter. Say, what do you do? I'm a floor sweeper and I'm the best floor sweeper you ever seen in your life. Just don't be ashamed of where you are. That's what he does. He keeps sheep. I really believe this is when, you remember when David came to Saul and Saul said to him, you can't go out there. You're just a kid. He's a man of war. He's got the latest armor, the latest weapons. I mean, he looks like a jumbo Rambo. He's huge, and he's got all this armor and spears and things, and he said, you can't go out there. I believe that he relates back to this time when it's time for David to take the battlefield and go out to Goliath. Because why else would a king let a teenager with a leather strap, which is a sling, and a staff, a stick, go out and make, really just get killed, is what he probably thought he was going to do. Why else would he do that? I think at this point is where they said, this kid, I was there, and this kid came dragging in this bear head or this lion head. I was there. I saw it. And I think when David gets to the battlefield, and remember what he told Saul? He told Saul, he said, listen, I have killed the bear and I have killed the lion, and this giant will be just like him. I think Saul is having flashbacks of this moment where he said, you know what? That story is the same thing that one of my inner circle told me back when. I think it came back to his remembrance. Why else would a grown man, a king, let a teenager go out on the battlefield? You ever think about that? Why wouldn't he just say, you guys get him and make sure he doesn't get out on that battlefield? He's going to go out there and get himself killed, and his daddy's going to be mad at me. Now take him away. That would be the logical thing, wouldn't it? But he didn't. He didn't. And that, and also he had played for him. Let's look on and says, verse 20, Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent him by his son David to Saul. Now you notice, David, it didn't matter what he's doing. If he's delivering bread and wine, and he's got a young goat, and he's taking him along, and he's going to the palace. Wouldn't that be a picture? Wouldn't you like to see a picture of that? His little donkey is all loaded down. He's got his little baby goat, and he's just headed down to the palace. You think anybody walked by him with his little donkey and his bread and his goat and said, ooh, look at that, a mighty man of valor. He's going to go kill Goliath. No, he's like, where are you going, kid? You know, maybe I'll take his bread away from him. You know. Yeah, you don't want to mess with David's bread, do you? No, because wherever he was there. And so he's just taking a goat and bread and wine down to the king's palace, and he's got his harp on there because he's going to play in the palace now. He's got him a gig at the palace. Somebody saw him out in the sheep pasture. Now he's got a gig in the palace. And so he's marching along and says, so David came to Saul, stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. You think God can get you from where you are to where he wants you to go? If you'll be there, if you'll be wherever you are, and you'll have a right attitude and a right heart and give it all that you've got right where you are? I do. I believe he can get you wherever he needs you to go. The problem we have so many times is it's not where we know we're ultimately going to wind up, and so what happens is we get discouraged and we complain about where we are, or we don't give it our best where we are. Wherever you are, be there. That happens in churches too, by the way. I've seen it over the years, 20 years, I've seen church members get disgruntled. And it's not long until they either fall by the wayside or go somewhere else. And so I'm just, you know, I mean, you want everybody to come that will come, right? But I'm telling you, when they get disgruntled, it's just like, I want you to pray through or pray somewhere else is what you're thinking. Because you know what it does? It just feeds the congregation. It does. It just goes through. Same way in your family. Same way at work. And it only takes one in your family to stand up and have a good attitude because God has put, you know, you're thinking about the goodness of God instead of the battles you're going through. Only takes one at work to change the atmosphere in the room. It does. It just takes one. But what we do is want to go in and jump in with the moral majority. If they're kind of grumpy today, we'll be grumpy today. If they're high today, we'll be high today. If they're talking about somebody that we don't particularly care for, we'll just chime in with them. But that's not a man after God's own heart, is it? A man after God's own heart is to come in and change the atmosphere and change the influence and make it a good one in the name of Jesus. And so he's moved him from there. Now he not only is a harp player, but he is the armor bearer. The Living Bible said he's one of the bodyguards of Saul. How many says that's pretty close to the throne? He's been anointed for the throne, and God has a way of getting you out of that little sheep pasture, moving you all the way up right next to the throne. And then he gave David the ability to just knock the king out, didn't he? But he didn't. He said, I won't. He could have taken him out, but he didn't. Okay, so be careful when you get opportunity. It's not always from God to take somebody out. Well, you know, I could just mention this to the CEO or boss, and I could have their position. Well, that's not always. You know, God just wants to see what you will do with opportunity that's not right. Keep your heart right, your motive right, and watch God just elevate you to where he wants to take you. Time is it? Is that clock slow back there? Okay, I got a few minutes on it. I went over last week, and that clock was not right. So it wasn't my fault. It's only a few minutes. I asked my wife, I said, did I go over? She said, yeah. She's just brutally honest with me. I said, was it bad? Nah, about 10 minutes. So, all right, let's look at chapter 17. And here's, you know, this is a real familiar story, but it's chapter 17. The first few verses, they square up against the Philistines, and then verses 4 through 7, Goliath comes out, and he's just ranting and raving, and he's huge. You know, some say 7 to 9 to 10 feet tall. I don't know. He was big. And so, anyway, he's ranting and raving, challenging everybody. And let's go on down to verse 8. It says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose for yourselves a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. This big old dummy, how's he going to be a servant if they kill him? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel. This day give me a man that we may fight together. He's just boasting out. And when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. How many knows they're there, but they're not? I thought they come to do battle. They've got a challenge. And here's what I can't figure out. Well, I can, because it's God's plan, isn't it, to get David where he wants to get. Why didn't they send 10 men? Why didn't they send 100 men? You know, just charge him. I mean, he's got enough sense to say, the best 10, just get him right now. You know? I mean, there's all kinds of things they could have done. They didn't do anything. They just hunkered down behind the rocks and act like he's the big boss of the battlefield. I mean, notice when you're in battle, they're not the boss. When they got their guns and you got your guns, how many knows there's no boss?
Right.
We're in battle. They can't tell you what to do. Don't shoot. I'm going to come out. Okay. I told you not to. Well, you're not boss. It's war. I mean, it's war. But they just hunkered down behind the rocks and just did what he said. You know, just afraid to come out and square off with him. I mean, there's all kinds of things they could have done, but they didn't, because God is working. Listen, there's all kinds of things that are all kinds of people and things that could get your position, your house that you want, your car that you want, your whatever that you want. But I'm telling you, if God wants you to have it, nobody will get it. So just relax. You know these companies that say, if you come in here now today, Anna, well, I'll tell you what we can do today. Now, if you don't take today, though, it's going to be higher. It's something you're going to look at, you really want, and they say, but we're going to make a deal, and it's only good today. Now, you can do what you want, but I tell them, well, then I don't want it. Because if God wants me to have it, it'll be here tomorrow. The same deal. I've had elders go out and go to seminars, and they call back for materials, you know, Christian seminars. Pastor, we can get this material, but if we don't buy it today, it's not going to be on sale. I said, then don't buy it. Oh, but it's going to save like hundreds of dollars. And if we can buy it today, I said, just don't buy it. I mean, no, that's a scam. Jesus can get you whatever you want tomorrow just as much as he can get it to you today. That's calling being where you are. See, they try to take you from where you are and bring them over to where you are. A sense of urgency so I can sell you something. And if we're following the will of God, we'll be people, a man after God's own heart. We don't get drawn into that kind of stuff. Because how many knows there's some good deals out there? Regardless of what you're looking for, there's just some good deals out there. But just don't go with good deals. Just go with the will of God. Now, if God gives you a good deal, that's a good deal, okay? But don't let people move you. He's not the boss, but he's challenged them, and they're all afraid. Verse 12, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had eight sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. And three older sons, Jesse had gone to follow Saul into battle. The names of the three sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. So they're all there. The three older are there. David is going to go deliver some food for them and things. Look on down to verse 20. So David rose early in the morning. How many night people you have in here? You just, how many say, I'm not a morning person? Well, you need to change because God's a morning person. Guess what? When you get up in Jesus rose early in the morning. This guy, man after God's own heart, rose early in the morning. And now, if you're retired, you got all them early mornings behind you. I'm just telling you. It just seems to me there's a pattern in the Bible that people that have something to do can get up early. I had people call me. Who was it? Called me the other day. Won't know. 8 o'clock. Won't know if I was out of bed. I thought, what do you think? I just lay around, wait for Sunday, or what? Are you awake? Now, I'll tell you this much. If I'm wore out on occasion, I might sleep in till 8 or 8:30 or something if I'm worn out. But I got things to do. I got people to see. I'm going to be about my Father's business today. It's good. Huh? So if you're not a morning person, you know what? Just adjust. You need to adjust something. You can get up and be happy in the mornings. For all of you that your family knows not to talk to you in the mornings, shame on you. Because you've adjusted them when you're the one that needs to be doing the adjusting. Yeah. Get up in the morning and instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, say, good morning, Lord. Get up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know. Then get you some coffee and some caffeine and go on about your day. We got teenagers in here drinking coffee already. That's my anointed children, I think. So he rose early in the morning, and then what did he do? He left the sheep with a keeper. He was there, wasn't he? Took care of business. I cannot leave till I make sure this is in order. And he took the things Jesse commanded him to take. Verse 22, and David left the supplies in the hands of a supply keeper. He didn't go see what's going on until he had that secured. That's being where you are. I think if he hadn't left the sheep in the hands of a keeper, if he'd have laid around and got up at noon, and if he'd have they'd just run up there at the supplies and run off and left him unattended, I don't think we'd have ever heard what we heard this day. I don't think he'd ever put him on the battlefield. That's why a lot of times we don't have great victories is because we don't take care of the little things. Listen, I'm telling you, church, that is very important. Take care of the little things. Don't leave attitudes and relationships undone. Don't leave all that kind of stuff undone. Don't leave your house unpicked up. Don't leave your automobile just scattered and junked. You know, whatever it is, just take care of wherever you are, be there. Take care of business. Take care of business. And so he goes on and he finds out about the battle. And I want to close. So just let me, let's go to verse 42. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. He was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? You know what David's thinking? Yeah, big boy, just keep your eye on the stick. Because I got something else in my pouch. And so he says, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beast of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this is where he makes his faith statement, because he is a man after God's own heart. He's taking care of what he needs to take care of, and God is taking care of him. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you, take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. when I get through with you, you'll know all about my God and what He can do. Listen, now we may not go around spouting that out to people, but we need to spout it out to us. God is in this, and when God gets through in this endeavor that He's leading me through, they'll know there's a living God. Isn't that a great statement? Don't you want people to know that there's a living God when you leave? That your attitude's different, that your look is different, your gait is different, your everything is different about you because you just got a better outlook than people that's got no hope, that don't have a God. I have birds around my house out in the country, and in the mornings I got a mockingbird, and he gets up early in the morning. Did all these different sounds. Did you see the mockingbird the other day on TV that's in this wilderness he grew up? And he's not imitating other birds. You know what he's mocking? He's mocking chainsaws and car alarms. And it was true. It's on the news station, and that's showing about us. But you know what? He's there, and he's mocking what he hears. He's there, isn't he? And it was so funny. They show this bird, and it goes, you know, it's like a car alarm. And when he got through the car alarm, he goes, that was, I'm not lying, I'm a preacher, I'm standing in God's house. That's what, did anybody else see that? Nobody else saw that? Oh, Kyle saw it, okay. He's a man after God's own heart, right here. He saw that. Only two anointed people in here watching TV. But you know what I thought about that little bird? Man, he just, God put mock in him, you know, it's just there. And so whatever he hears, he's going to pick it up and mock it. And so I thought, you know, he's run all the wildlife off, and so he's mocking. He's still mocking. And it's probably more difficult than when he's, it's probably his little throat just red going, but he's still mocking, isn't he? He's still got it going on, you know, and then, it was amazing. It's kind of sad, really, but you might want to work with your birds out there. They might pick that up. But he's coming in the name of the Lord. He's not coming in the name of the Lord, and he tells what he's going to do, and then he follows through. He follows through. Wherever you are, if you want to be a man after God's own heart, wherever you are, be there. Be there with a loving, kind attitude. Be there with the heart of God that this may be trivial to some people, but I've been given responsibility over this section of my life, over this thing. I've been given responsibility over this sink full of dirty dishes and this laundry, and I've been given responsibility over the care of my family and over the care of my kids, and I've been given responsibility to be an outstanding citizen and to, you know, cause everybody else's trash in our community. I'll pick up extra, you know, and I've been given responsibility to make my church look good, so if I see a piece of paper coming across the parking lot, I'll pick it up and I'll throw it away. You know, just wherever you are, be there. It's a person after God's own heart. Be there. Give it 100%. God's watching, and He knows how to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And He'll use people, and He'll use methods, just like He did with David. I know a man that you need in this palace. That's what He'll say about you if you'll be wherever you are. I know a person that you need here. Let's pray. Father, thank You for showing us what a man after God's own heart looks like. Wherever David was, he was there. He was content taking care of sheep, honing his skills. He didn't know, Lord, that he would be fighting the Philistines' prize warrior someday. But it didn't matter to David. He was willing to lay his life down for sheep because You had put him over sheep. And God, wherever we are today, whether it's a class or in school or picking up our room at home as teenagers or mowing our grass and keeping our homes looking nice or making the best of what we have and saying, this is what God has provided and I will treat this like it matters, because it does. I may not stay here, but this is where I am right now. And I will have a good attitude, and I will be thankful to God, and I will treat this as if it's something God has placed in my care. And I'll be faithful over it. and I'll give my life to it. God, today, wherever we are, help us to be there. Help us to know that if we'll give it all that we have where we are, You're always looking to bless us. You're always looking for us to move up to another level so we can bless more individuals the way David turned the whole camp's morale around. Just one. It only took one to turn the whole momentum of the battle. And today, teach us, God, wherever we are. We're one. But we have the kingdom working in us and through us. And we can turn it around. It may take a while. But whether it's a classroom of kids or a busload of kids or whatever it is, we can turn it around because God is working in us and through us. So help us to conquer our giants today. Help us to learn that if we're going to conquer them, we have to be faithful where we are. Have to take care of business where we are. Help us to live in that and breathe that and eat that and sleep that. That this is where I am and this is where I'll spend my energies and I'll take care of where I am. So God can do all that He desires to do in and through me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, maybe you're not where you are. You're there, but your heart is not there. It's far.